In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, today is the eighth day of our preparatory novena for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The topic set for today, according to our theme, is Our Lady of Pommel. The apparition of Our Lady at Pommel is the last and least known of the four great approved apparitions which occurred in 19th century France. It occurred in early 1871, after the Blessed Virgin had appeared on French soil in 1830 at the Rue du Bac in Paris, in 1846 at La Salette, and most famously in Lourdes in 1858. In order to fully appreciate the significance of Our Lady's 1871 appearance at Pommel, it is necessary to know a little of the history of that time. In 1861, Kaiser Wilhelm I ascended the throne of Prussia and immediately appointed the anti-Catholic Otto von Bismarck as his chancellor. Their goal was to unite all German-speaking states into a single country. Together, they assumed an aggressive, bellicose stance to assert as well as to test its position among their neighbors. Prussia waged three quick wars, first against Denmark in 1864, taking Holstein, second against Austria in 1866, putting Prussia in control of Germany, and finally against France in 1870. On August 1st, 1870, the first cannon shot was fired and the Franco-Prussian War began. The French army quickly fell into the militarily superior Prussian army. By December 27th, the Prussians had invaded Paris. Now they turned to the western provinces of Normandy and Brittany. France was a lot more Catholic then than she is today. A vast number, perhaps half the population, still deplored the 1789 revolution that had killed the king and large numbers of Catholics. All over France, prayers of penitence and supplications were directed towards heaven. By mid-January 1871, the Prussian army was just a few miles from the town of Pommel, which was located just inside the French defensive line. The citizens feared for their lives. Abbé Guérin, who had been the parish priest for 35 years, instructed the children to pray to the Blessed Mother for protection. Brittany, the westernmost region, was as yet intact, but the German invaders had almost completed their conquest of the neighboring region of Mayenne. The next German attack was expected on Laval, the main town of the region of Mayenne, a few miles to the east of Pommel. There, priests and people had besieged heaven with their prayers, praying especially at the Basilica of Notre Dame d'Avenir, main shrine to Our Lady in Laval. Moreover, all over Brittany, the faithful were praying, from Rennes, the capital, to Saint-Brieuc on the shores of the Atlantic. The commander of the Prussian forces, General von Schmidt, was sure to be able to take Laval on the evening of January 17th. Pommel, still within the French lines, is even today a small hamlet of a few hundred inhabitants. On the evening of Tuesday, January 17th, at about 5:30, 12-year-old Eugène Barbadette was leaving his father's barn. This was a bit strange of Eugène, because just then a neighbor had come into the barn to give them news of his older brother and godfather, a soldier in the army. Many years later, his younger brother Joseph Barbadette, who had become a priest with the Oblates of Mary Immaculate, would say, "Humanly speaking, I have never been able to understand why Eugène left us, just as we were hearing news of his godfather, of whom he was so fond." Eugène looked up into the starry sky and saw a beautiful lady standing in the air, about 20 feet above the roof line and between two chimneys of the house of Jean and Augustine Guilcock, just across the way. The lady was wearing a dark blue dress covered with gold stars, a black veil, and a simple gold crown. Eugène stood there, entranced in the snow for about 15 minutes. The words in his mind to describe the lady were une grande belle dame, a tall, beautiful lady. As the conversation came to a close, the neighbor was leaving when Eugène asked her if she saw anything above the Guilcock's house. She did not. Hearing these words, his father and younger brother came out of the farm and looked out. Eugène asked, "Look over there, above the house. What do you see?" Only Joseph could describe the lady in exactly the same way as Eugène had seen her. Une grande belle dame, a tall, beautiful lady. "How is she dressed?" asked Eugène. "She has a blue dress and blue footwear," said the other. "Has she a crown on her head?" was next asked. "Yes," was the reply. "A gold crown getting wider towards the top and with a red line round the middle. And she wears a black veil." The younger boy's description exactly corresponded with what the older one had seen and continued to see. The father listened to the boys, looking up at the sky all the time, but he did not see her. So he sternly ordered them to return to feeding the horses in the barn and asked the neighbor to keep these things to herself so as not to cause a commotion. The boys went back to their work, but they could only think of what they had seen. Their father may have been wondering as well, so for whatever reason, a little later, he told the brothers to go out and look again. They saw her once again, and Joseph kept saying, "How beautiful she is, how beautiful she is." So the father sent Eugène to fetch their mother. Many years later, after his ordination as a priest, Father Joseph Barbadet gave a description of the apparition that he saw that night. She was clad in a garment of deep blue, of the color of indigo. Her dress was covered with gold stars, pentagonal in form, all of the same size and brilliant, but without emitting rays. They were not very numerous and seemed to be scattered over the blue without regard to method. The blue garment was ample, showing certain strongly marked folds, and without girdle or compression of any kind from the neck to the feet. The sleeves were ample and long, falling over the hands. On the feet, which the dress left uncovered, were foot coverings of the same blue as the dress and ornamented with gold bows. On the head was a black veil half covering the forehead, concealing the hair and ears and falling over the shoulders. Above this was a gold crown resembling a diadem, higher in front than elsewhere and widening out at the sides. A red line from about 5 to 6 millimeters wide encircled the crown at about the middle. The hands were small and extended towards us as in the miraculous medal, but without emitting rays. The face was slightly oval. To the freshness of youth was added the most exquisite delicacy of feature and of tint, the complexion being rather pale than otherwise. Smiles of ineffable sweetness played about the mouth. The eyes of unutterable tenderness were fixed on us. Like a true mother, she seemed happier in looking at us than we in contemplating her. He continues, "Notwithstanding that it was night and that we were separated from the beautiful apparition by a distance of several hundred feet, we could see every detail of the face as distinctly as if it had been in full daylight and we had been close by. Their mother, Victoire, arrived on the scene, but she too could not see anything, even with her glasses. She asked the boys several questions, and knowing that the boys were honest and never told lies, she concluded that perhaps it was an apparition of the Blessed Virgin. Mrs. Barbadat had the idea that they should all pray five Our Fathers and five Hail Marys in her honor.
Would you go with me now?
The brothers reported that as they were praying, the apparition was now smiling at them.
It's over.
At this point, the religious sisters from the school were called over, but they too could not see the apparition. They brought some children from the school, who immediately explained that they could see a lady and were able to describe her in the same way as the brothers. The sisters led everyone in prayer. They brought more children who could also see the lady. Abbe Guérin, the parish priest, was also called to the scene, but he too, like all the other adults, saw nothing. After his arrival, and while everyone was praying, a red cross appeared on the breast of the apparition at about the place of the heart. Father Guérin led everyone in praying the rosary. All of a sudden, the children reported that she had become extremely sad. They continued praying the rosary. At the end, one of the sisters intoned the Magnificat. As they finished, a banner at Our Lady's feet had the words, "Mais priez, mes enfants," but pray, my children. All throughout the singing of the Magnificat, the apparition appeared sad. Father Guérin led everyone in praying the Litany of Loreto with the intention of asking the Blessed Virgin to make her wishes known. The apparition responded quickly. The next message that was shown at her feet was, "Dieu vous exaucera en peu de temps." God will soon answer your prayers. All present, because of the dire situation their country was in, were thrilled at these words. They understood that the war would soon be over, but they continued to pray and sing hymns. As they sang the hymn in Violata, a new message started appearing below the apparition. It began with the words, "Mon fils, my son." With just these two words at the beginning, all doubts about the identity of the apparition were dispelled. Everyone understood it to be Our Lady. The second sentence was continued to form the message, "Mon fils céleste touché." My son allows himself to be moved by compassion. Thus, when the full message, "But pray, my children, God will soon answer your prayers. My son allows himself to be moved by compassion." When the full message was read and understood, intense emotion prevailed among the onlookers, joy and gratitude, and many continued to pray silently. The praying and singing of the villagers gathered there seemed to please Our Lady, for she smiled. The apparition continued, and the cross she was carrying turned bright red, the color of blood. The Blessed Mother held it towards the onlookers. Praying and singing continued. They sang the Ave Maria Stella. At the end, Our Lady was being covered in a veil, and finally, the apparition ended at about 8:45 in the evening, about 3 hours after it began. It turned out that the troops of General von Schmidt, leading the Prussian attack on Laval, stopped at about 5:30 p.m., about the time the apparitions first appeared. The next day, the Prussian army began to retreat without having taken the city of Laval. Several officers reported that they saw the Madonna protecting Brittany. 12 days later, an armistice was signed between France and Prussia at Versailles. The miraculous intercession of Our Blessed Mother had saved Pommern. These apparitions were recognized on the 2nd of February, 1872, by the bishop, and the feast was fixed for January 17th. Today, on the site of the apparitions, pilgrims can visit the Basilica of Our Lady of Hope of Pommern. Because of this apparition, devotion to Our Lady of Hope spread. "But pray, my children, God will hear you in a short time. My son allows himself to be moved with compassion." The message of our Blessed Mother is that of hope. As we offer our rosary each day, seeking the maternal care of the Blessed Virgin, we must be mindful that she who stood at the foot of the cross, filled with the hope of the forgiveness of sin and the resurrection to everlasting life, affords us hope also during our journey of life. No matter what life may throw at us, whether the trials are temporal or spiritual, even if our situation is dire, even if we turn to her at the very last moment, we will always be able to find a sure refuge and maternal smile from Our Lady under this glorious title. With Our Lady of Hope, we indeed have assurance of never being abandoned and hope of being united with our Lord now and forever in heaven. O Mary, Our Lady of Hope, pray for us. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.